Welcome to chapter 106, I think that sounds right, of Tales of a Pale Male. I am said Pale Male. Welcome to the podcast if you're new. And yeah, I hope you guys have had an awesome week. And also, sorry if I look shitty on the video version on YouTube. It's just, yeah, it's shitty lighting. Anyway, it's like, I look like Big Bird. I'm under a big yellow light. And, yeah, I look like a character off The Simpsons or something. But, anyway, this week there's been a lot of ups and there's been a lot of downs. For example, one of the ups was that I went to a play, during the week and someone farted during a really intense scene. So that was a massive highlight of my week. But I feel like that was also the low light of my week as well. Because what happened was, it was like really intense moment. My friend Joseph, we all know Joseph Green from the podcast. He opened my Melbourne show. He was in this play and his character was about to confess his love to the female love interest in the play. It was super intense. It was emotional. And just as his character was about to confess his love, there was a bit of a pause in the play and someone in the audience mistimed a fart. Obviously, massive highlight for all. I sniggered. There was people chatting about it afterwards in the foyer, spoke to Joseph about it afterwards. He said that he did clock the fart on stage and he was trying not to smirk as well. So it was just pretty much fun times around. Whenever a fart gets let off in public like that, especially in a chapel, it's so good because it just echoed around the room. It was like I got to hear the fart six times. It just pinged off the walls. It was like... But it was just one fart. It was great. So, never fart in a chapel, if one advice for you. I'm not really, religious at all, and I don't really go into chapels much unless it's for watching my friends' theatre pieces. But, when I'm in there, I do avoid farting because it really picks up the sound. I mean, you could do just a little and it would echo throughout the entire room. But, it was a good fart. But the reason why it was also a low light of my week was, and I know what you're probably thinking, oh, Luke must have been next to the culprit, probably smelt. Nah, the culprit was on the other side of the room. The reason why it was a low light is because I felt bad for the person, because I looked around and the general people over that side of the room watching the play were all elderly. So it wasn't like an intentional funny fart. Like if I had have dropped that fart, it would have been a good meme. You know, it would have been like, oh, I've got control of my bowels, but I'm choosing to fart just at this intense point of the play. He was like, I don't know, I can't do a southern accent, but he's like, well, two to do there, or whatever. I don't know what he was saying, but he was like, well, how to do there, Francine? I love you so much. Like, and then it was a real squelcher on the seat, because it was on a wooden seat as well. And, yeah, if I had done that, would have been a ripping gag and a ripping fart. Because I felt like 90% likelihood that it was someone elderly and that it was an accidental fart, it didn't have the same amount of comedy value to it. I mean, yes, I still laughed and I'm talking about it 5 days later on a podcast, but man, imagine if it had been an intentional fart. That would have made my whole year. I would have taken the rest of the year off. Would have been like, oh, well, that's me done. Heard a fart in a chapel. Actually, who am I kidding? Go fart in a chapel. I don't know why I said not to fart in a chapel. It's the best place to fart. Because if you get to hear your fart, it's like the equivalent of recording a fart, but you get to hear it in real time, like echoed in delay back to you. What a weird way to start the podcast. So yeah, my week's had a lot of ups and downs. Speaking of downs, YouTube went down today. And it was the most productive day I've ever had in my entire life. Oh, man. This is how unproductive I am. I refreshed it for 5 minutes because I was editing a video and I was trying to get a song and I couldn't get the song that I needed to finish off the video. And then I thought, oh, shit, I've been hacked by a Nigerian prince. Like, why isn't my YouTube working? And then I started checking on my phone. I'm like, oh, my God, it's my account. So I was like, oh, no. So I changed all my passwords. I set up even, like, I changed my two-step verification or whatever on my account, like made it pretty much bulletproof, right? And then all of a sudden, it's still not working. And I'm like, it's not my account. I'm not being hacked. I go on Twitter and it turns out YouTube just shit itself. Just similar like the person in the play. It just mistimed a fart. That's what YouTube did, alright? If the world is a chapel today, YouTube just did it in the worst time. Because I was trying to do shit on YouTube. Man, I was so productive though. As soon as I realized that YouTube was down worldwide, I felt like I had so much free time. I was like, and then it made me realize how much time I was just wasting. Just like, oh man, I should watch Shane Dawson's new episode of his Jake Paul documentary. 50 minutes later, you're like, well, that's fucking 50 minutes I'm never going to get back. So I was just like, man, I can do whatever I want. So I went for a run. I mean, I was going to do that anyway, but I just would have done it all 50 minutes later. So I was just like 50 minutes ahead of schedule all day. I'm at the radio station right now recording the podcast, and I got a gig tonight. Man, I'm 50 minutes early. If I didn't have YouTube every day, I'd be 2 hours early to everything. I'd be like, what's even more punctual than punctual? I'd be early is the word, and I'd be that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of giving up YouTube, but then I realized I couldn't because it's my job. And if I give up YouTube, then I'll have no money. No one will come to my shows. So, I guess, you know, you win some, you lose some. But it just opened up a whole new realm of possibilities. I'm sure you guys might have experienced the YouTube blackout today. If you didn't, hats off to you. You were clearly already being productive with your life. But for those grubs like me just at work trying to watch a crazy frog video, trying to watch the Numa Numa guy, you know what I mean? For all us said units still kicking about watching viral videos from 2010, then it was a rough afternoon, I tell you that much. It was weird. It was like you go www.youtube.com and then just like it didn't load any videos. The rest of the page was there and then the videos would just shit himself every time you tried to click into one. It was bizarre. So, but you know, at least they didn't do it in a chapel. So, I like that the story has now become, yeah, someone shut them. No, it was just a fart. But they may have followed through. It kind of did squelch on the seat. So maybe I did witness a poo during a play. But it was probably a fart. Maybe I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. But yeah, my day was awesome, man. I was just like, I did like exercises, went for a run. I got a bunch of shit done. I've been organizing, working with Josh and stuff, organizing my tour next year. I'm starting early next year, guys. If you're in Perth, then listen up. I think it's locked in now. I think I'm coming to Perth Fringe in January. I've never done like a multiple day run in Perth before. So please be kind to be Perth and please come to the show. Otherwise, I'll just be in Perth for no reason. And fuck, no one wants that. That's my rule with going to Perth. What are you going there for? Oh, no reason. Leave. What are you going there for? I have a valid reason. Boom. Good. That's the only time you should be in Perth. Except if you live there. You know, then you just got drawn a bad card in life, I guess. You know? I guess there's kids dying in Nauru, but like, you still live in Perth, so, you know, swings and roundabouts, you can't win them all. You know, I was talking about that with a mate this week, just like how awesome our lives are, but not like just what we do or whatever, just like where I'm born in like the most livable city in the world. What are the chances of that? So little. And everyone's like, oh man, it's bullshit, you can't win the lottery. Man, if you're buying a lottery ticket in Australia, you've pretty much won it anyway. So, have a bit of bloody perspective. Look at me getting all bloody, I don't know. I don't know what the word is. Shit. Alright, I got one story for you guys, and I've been dying to tell this, right? It happened last night, and I can't stop thinking about it. All day, I've just been like, you know, except for when I was wasting time on YouTube, I was just like, oh my God, I need to tell this story. So, last night, I lost something very dear to me. And I think, what will this story be known as? If you know, I feel like this will be one of those stories that people talk about in 10 years' time. You'll be with your mates at some bar, and, you know, they'll be like, they'll bring up biscuit-related conversation, and you'll be like, oh, would you like me to tell you the missing story of the... Would you like me to tell you the story of the missing shortbread? And your friends will be like, what's the story of the missing shortbread? And guys, listen up. Whatever you're doing right now, turn up the volume a little bit, alright? Maybe nestle in to the couch you're sitting in or the seat you're sitting in at school. Gear up. If you're on the train, you know, put your arm up, lean it on the side, get comfortable. Because this story of the missing shortbread, you'll want to remember where you are. Right now, wherever you are listening to this, remember it. Because forever you'll be like, I was there when I heard the story of the missing shortbread. And if you're somewhere shit right now and don't want to associate like this amazing story with some place that shit, pause the podcast, go to somewhere better, then listen. So if you're in Perth right now, take a flight to anywhere else in Australia and then listen to the missing shortbread story. Now, I don't know why I shit on Perth. I actually like it. It's probably like our top three favourite places to go in Australia. My favourite places would be, before I get into the story, I was thinking about this the other day. What are my three favourite places to like tour? I think it's like, in no particular order, because I haven't decided the order. I like Perth. I have a few friends in Adelaide, but you know, Adelaide's just okay. I like Perth, Newcastle, and Sydney. I don't know why. Except the Brisbane show's always off chops, so who knows? You know what? Most of the shows, whatever. Anyway, the missing shortbread, guys. It's midnight. No, I would say it's 12:45. It's very late last night. 12:45 a.m. Right, so technically it happened today. And I'm getting a little snacky, you know. I'm on my computer, probably wasting time on YouTube. Don't remember what I was doing. And I was like, could get some shortbread in my tum-tum, and I knew there was a packet of shortbread in the cupboard. So I walk out there, get the shortbread, and, you know, it's pretty late at night, so I'm tiptoeing around the house kind of thing, being respectful. Then I go to the fridge and was like, oh, I'm going to check out what else is in there. And there was some strawberries left for me that I hadn't eaten for dessert, right? You know, everyone else in my family kind of had a few strawberries, and they're in a bowl, and I was like, oh, sweet. I got shortbread and strawberries, you know. If I don't get a needle here, I'm set for a fucking sick snack. Or I'm set for a massive payout. Like, when that whole needle thing happened with the strawberries, dude, I was hoping I'd find a little needle in my strawberry. Think of the cash, alright? You sue whoever the fuck you bought that strawberry off. Man, you won't ever have to pay for strawberries again. You got free strawberries for life. I mean, yeah, you probably have AIDS, but like, you know, again, swings and roundabouts. So, I'm tiptoeing around the house, and before I guess I get into the story full on, I want to ask you guys one question, and answer this yourself, alright? I'll give you some time to answer it. Have you ever lost a shortbread? And right now, I bet you, all of you are unanimously going, no. How the fuck can you lose a shortbread? Because traditionally, shortbreads, after you take them out of the packet, are consumed quite quickly after. Unless they're on some sort of platter or open plan food situation. You know what I mean? If you're getting yourself a shortbread, most people eat it straight out of the jar or whatever, or the container, the packet. Last night I lost a shortbread, guys. So, there's three shortbreads left. That's really crucial to the story. I go to my cupboard, three left, and I'm thinking jackpot, because I only want two. I'll leave one there for some lucky person tomorrow morning. Maybe Dad will be snacky before work. Who knows? Either way, I'll leave someone a shortbread. I get my strawberries in my hand. This is key. I've got one bowl of strawberries. And on a plate, I put two shortbreads. Now, there are two doors between my kitchen and my bedroom. I closed them both to be quiet, right? Because there were people sleeping. And it, again, It was a late night snack. So I'm tiptoeing around the house, walking back to my room with my bowl of strawberries and my two shortbreads. And so, which means I've got both hands full. So I encounter the first sliding door and I'm like, oh shit. All right, I'll get the door with my foot. So I start edging the door open while still having my hands full with strawberries and shortbread, right? Like the little chubby boy that I am. And I was flicking the door across, right? And then, you know, and then eventually I got the door with my head and I opened the door. And I look back down at the plate, still two shortbreads. I'm thinking, phew, man, I was thinking the shortbread might slip off. I don't know if you guys have ever carried a shortbread on a plate before, but it's slippy. You're running the gauntlet of losing a shortbread onto the floor, that's for sure. Alright? I don't like to take many chances in life, but sometimes you've just gotta be like, fuck it, and put a shortbread on a plate. Alright? I'm not saying it's responsible shortbread eating. I'm saying it makes you feel alive. So I've got a shortbread on a plate, my strawberries. I'm one door down, I'm almost at my bedroom, ready to indulge in this late night snack that I was so badly craving. I counter my bedroom door. Now that's a knob, not a sliding door. So this is what I did. I stacked the shortbread plate on top of the bowl that has the strawberries in it. So now I'm holding both in one hand. It's a delicate maneuver. But I'm a 22-year-old adult with reasonably good hand-eye coordination skills, so I backed myself in. Now, this is where the story gets spooky. And this is the part when you're sitting around at the bar in 10 years' time that people will get chills when you tell them this bit, okay? Or when you're at school the next week. I don't know who you're going to tell this story to. I just imagine it's going to kind of... this story, the missing shortbread, will probably become part of like Australian folklore, you know, like the man from Snowy River, you know, Waltzing Matilda. People are probably gonna write songs about it, you know, walking around. I don't know, like, you'll come a missing a shortbread with me as he opened the door and he misplaced his shortbread, stuff like that, right? I'm assuming this is, you know, maybe I'll have my story told on like Hamish and Andy's True Story. Or, you know, maybe I'll have it told. You know, who knows? Look, this could potentially be like, you know, an 8-part Netflix documentary. You know, like, I guess after I've told this story, it's probably going to get a bit of news coverage. And that you guys get the big deal. It's a big deal. That's the deal, right? What would it be called? Making a Murderer. I'll be the murderer in that situation because, anyway. So I've got all my strawberries and my shortbread in one hand. I open the door with the knob. I go through the door and I close the door with the knob. I take 3 steps to my bed. I place the plate of strawberry on the bed. And I also place the plate of shortbread on the bed. So the bowl of strawberry and the plate of shortbread on the bed. I look down at the bowl of shortbread and guess what's not there? One shortbread. So I had 2. Now I have 1. In the space of what I believe was 3 steps and a door closed. And I was like, oh, no biggie. Oops, I must have ran the gauntlet a little too hard. I took a risk and one of the shortbreads has slipped off onto the floor. Now, at my house, I've got kind of like a carpet, you know, like a creamy kind of similar to shortbread colored carpet, right? And I was like, okay, I don't think it'll just be like a chameleon and it'll just get lost in the carpet, right? So I'm looking out at my floor and I was like, I can't see this shortbread anywhere. I look behind the door, no shortbread. I go outside of my room. I was like, maybe when I open the knob, it slipped off and it's, you know, crashed on the hallway floor. So I get a torch, right? It's late at night. I turn on the hallway light. I've got a torch to get the real, like, on my phone and stuff. And I'm looking everywhere for this shortbread. 5 minutes pass, no shortbread. And I'm thinking, this is fucking insane. Who the fuck loses a shortbread in their own house? A little biscuit on a plate. That's unheard of. I've never lost a shortbread before. So I didn't know what to do in this situation. I was like, do I call the missing shortbread hotline? Do I report a missing shortbread? Is there a missing shortbread hotline? There should be. Or is this... Maybe I'm the first person to ever lose a shortbread. I don't know. I'm freaking out right now going, I had two, now there's one. But I couldn't explain to myself where the one had gone because it wasn't on the floor. And I saw it. I only took 3 steps. And now I start doubting myself. All these things start running through my mind going like, okay, so maybe I missaw the two shortbreads when I went through the sliding door, so I'll check around the first door. Maybe I've dropped it then. So I'm looking around the sliding door. I go back out to the kitchen. It's nowhere to be seen. I scanned every square inch of my house looking for a fucking shortbread. You don't know sadness until it's after 1 a.m., you're still starving for a little late night snacky, your tummy's rumbling, but you can't give it what it wants because you've misplaced a fucking shortbread. You don't know pain, alright? Oh, but my parents got divorced and that was hard. Okay, wah wah. Sook elsewhere. Oh, my... You know, someone close to me died recently. Okay, I'm really sorry to hear that, but fuck off with your misery. You don't know pain until... It's not even pain. It's like a mixture of both. I didn't even know how I felt. It was like confusion. And then I was like, maybe there was no shortbread. Maybe I only put one on. Do you know how bad it is when you doubt yourself to the point where you're like, am I going insane? Am I imagining shortbreads? Am I so hungry? Am I so peckish right now for a late night snacks that I'm fantasizing about shortbreads? I'm like, is this where I'm at in life? I'm 22. I got the whole life ahead of me. And I'm bloody playing imaginary friends with a shortbread. So I look back in the cupboard. Now, remember the start of the story. There were 3 shortbreads in the packet. I go back to the cupboard. I was like, oh, this is weird. Maybe I just never grabbed the second shortbread. I go back to the cupboard. There's only 1 shortbread. So 2 have gone. 2 have gone missing, right, from the cupboard. And I took them out. I remember taking them out. But at this point, I'm thinking, I'm insane. I was like, maybe I didn't take them out, right? So I look in my bed. I was like, maybe when I put it on my bed, I slipped out. I shook all my doonas, all my blankets, my sheets. I even did like the thing where I put my arm inside my pillowcase and felt around for a fucking shortbread. You've never hit rock bottom until you're fisting your pillowcase looking for crumbs of shortbread. That's low, all right? That's a low point for anyone. So I'm thinking at this point, I'm like, I've gone insane. I've gone insane, right? And then I was like, man, we had melting moments 2 days before, which are like little yo-yo biscuits, right? Which is technically a double shortbread, right? And I was like, oh my God, like I could never lose, you know, I was maybe blaming the size of the shortbread. I'm like, a shortbread could slip under a door or something, but a melting moment would just stay. So I'm checking under everything. I'm lifting up my cupboards. I even moved out my bed from the wall and checked down the crack for shortbread. Still no sign of shortbread. All right? It's insane. It's like, and I was like, okay, cool. I give up. This is, I reckon, half an hour passed. Half an hour. It's now 1:15 a.m. I've been looking for a shortbread for half an hour. You only get 24 hours in a day. And I spent 1/48th of my day looking for a fucking shortbread. If I thought I was wasting time on YouTube, man, wait till I try and eat at midnight. That is a waste of time. I wish my shortbread was down today. That wouldn't have bothered. So I'm, at this point, I'm like, I'm going insane. Maybe there were never 2 shortbreads. I don't know. I just need to go to bed. And I was thinking, perhaps the shortbread might turn up during the week. I was thinking maybe 1 month, 2 years, 4 years down the track, I'll be moving something in my room and out pops this moldy shortbread. And I was picturing a scene where it would just fall out in slow motion and I'd be like, And I'd want to be angry, like how parents are when their kids run away, but I'm just too fucking happy to see it that I just embrace it and start crying, and there's emotional music playing, and me and the shortbread are just in a warm embrace, and I'm like, do I eat it? It's been 4 years. I don't know. But just as I was fantasizing this, I sit back in my bed, right? And you're probably thinking, oh no, there's no end to this story. There's no resolution. How, when this story of the missing shortbread becomes so ingrained in Australian culture, probably worldwide, all right? You know, I feel like the Bible's a pretty popular book at the moment. Actually, it's probably not as popular now. Osher Ginsberg's books probably selling more than the Bible these days, but you know what I mean? The Bible was once a popular book, and I guess there were some things that people didn't believe in there. Fast forward 2,000 years, people are reading the book entitled The Missing Shortbread, and you're probably thinking, yeah, I doubt I believe that. Well, this is how the story ends, guys. There is a resolution. All I'm going to say is, I found the shortbread. But how, Luke? It doesn't make sense. It's implausible for you to A, lose the shortbread in the first place, but then look for half an hour, scan everywhere for the shortbread. I was looking under mugs in my cupboard. Why the fuck would the shortbread teleport under a mug? Like, I think I'm fucking David Blaine or something. Like, I'm just like, look under the mug, and then the shortbread. Like, who do I think I am? But at this point, 25 minutes into a shortbread hunt, you get desperate, guys. All right? I've tried everything. I really want to stress that. So you're probably thinking, you know, Luke, where was the shortbread? Where was it? Guys, what have I told you that when I sat down on my bed, after searching for half an hour on my floor, in cupboards, under doors, in the hallway, next to the sliding door and the knob door, in the kitchen cupboard that I got it out of, the kitchen bench, which it only rested on for 3 seconds as I got the strawberries out of the fridge. After all that, what if I told you that the shortbread never left the plate? Only I am dumb enough to lose a shortbread on a fucking plate. On a plate with nothing else on it. You want to know what happened? I sit back in my bed after giving up completely. I put my laptop on my knees, right? I'm about to watch something on Netflix. I was going to watch an episode of How I Met Your Mother before bed. Why? Because I'm basic. And I start snacking into my strawberries and I was like, oh, I'll just eat my one shortbread now. I pick up the shortbread and I'm thinking, oh boy, Safeway shortbreads have gotten a lot thicker. Oh, sorry, I should have said Woolworths. It hasn't been Safeway for years, right? I was like, oh, Woolworths shortbreads have gotten a lot thicker. I bite into it. The shortbreads were on top of each other. It was two shortbreads. Stacked. And for half an hour, I thought it was one shortbread. I stacked them. Accidentally, when I did the knob door, they got stacked. They weren't stacked, by the way. They were next to each other. When I opened the door, I must have bumped the plate. Instead of sliding off the plate, the shortbread flipped on top, exactly on top of the other shortbread, and stayed there. I didn't see the flip. So I'm looking at it from above, right? When you think about it, if you're looking at a shortbread from above, you've got no real perspective of the side. It just looks like one shortbread. Half an hour looking for a fucking biscuit. And it was there the whole time. You know what I could have done? given up sooner and I would have found it. How fucking dumb am I that the only way I found the missing shortbread was by putting it in my mouth? That's the thing. It's not like I picked it up and went, oh, the shortbread was there the whole time. I picked up both, thinking it was still one shortbread. It wasn't until I bit into it and went, oh, there it is. You don't know humiliation like that. Like, if you think public speaking's hard, imagine being by yourself in your bedroom at 1:15 a.m. knowing that you just spent the last half an hour looking for a fucking biscuit that never even left the plate. That's so stupid. Oh, man. Well, there you go. There's one to tell the grandkids, guys. It was there the whole time. It's like in Saw. It's like it's just like any twist ending where you're like, what? The bad guy was that guy the whole time? How? I didn't see that coming. Maybe you guys did. I don't know. I certainly didn't. I was like, man, that was just some M. Night Shyamalan shit. Everything at the end just went, what the fuck? And I was like, whoa, the shortbread never left the room. Anyway, blew my mind. I don't know what I was more impressed about, the flip of the shortbread or how stupid I am. Both were pretty impressive. So there it is, guys. Probably the best story I've ever told in the podcast, you know. And you're probably thinking at the start, if you also listen to the radio podcast, I did chat about the missed time fart on the radio podcast. But you guys know I saved the best material for the podcast, all right? I'm not putting that... The radio don't deserve that kind of gold, all right? And also, they wouldn't let me tell a 25-minute story on air about a shortbread. But, hey, what a week, huh? What else did I do this week? I went to Panic at the Disco. Oh, yeah, shit. It was so good, right? So, I went by myself, right? But I didn't. So, we on the radio show, we found someone who was willing to go with me. A girl named Erin. And, yeah. It was so fun, man. It was like they were, they're so good live. I'm so sick of people like still going, oh fuck, man, they suck. Dude, they're winning like Grammys, like, you know what I mean? They're winning like awards everywhere. My dad likes them, right? If you can't get over yourself, and I hate that with, and I'm just saying like about Panic at the Disco, I hate when people aren't open to shit. Right? I'm not really into rap or whatever. Like, I kind of am into a few rappers, but, like, I hate it when people go, like, oh, Tupac sucks. Or, like, oh, thing or, like, Eminem sucks. And you're like, no, he doesn't. Like, just because you're not into it, he doesn't suck. He's not a bad rapper. He's, you know what I mean? Like, he's amazing at what he does. It's just not for you. You know what I mean? I'm not into a bunch of shit, but it doesn't suck. I'm so sick of the whole, oh man, Panic at the Disco suck. And you're like, dude, hear one of their songs, right? Just listen to one of them. And you'll be like, oh yeah, this isn't for me, but this dude has a really good voice. Like, the lead singer did like a show on Broadway last year. You have to be fucking really good to be a lead in a Broadway show. You know what I mean? That's like the pinnacle of musical theatre. And I was like, you know, he does like backflips and it's insane, man. It was like one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I'm like, yeah, I guess most people know them having like the little front fringe or whatever. But it was dope. Like, they were so good. They dropped like a cover of Bohemian Rhapsody that just went off. Yeah, and I know all their songs off by heart, so it was awesome night. It's so weird. You can't be funny when you're talking about something that happened to you that was good. Like, you know what I mean? I'll happily tell a 25-minute story about me losing a shortbread. But I think that story went for longer than I actually looked for the shortbread, right? It's almost the same time. But, yeah. And by the way, I actually documented... I got halfway through the search and was like, this is going to be... This is story... I realized halfway through the shortbread search that I knew it was going to go down history. So I started documenting shortbread. So I'll post some of the pictures. This is as the hunt was going. I've got a picture of my strawberries and one shortbread. You know what it was? I'm looking at the picture now and I can see that there's clearly two shortbreads stacked. It's so dumb. I was taking these photos in the knowledge of, like, man, like, where's the second shortbread? I'll take all these photos to document it so everyone can see, like, as proof that there's one shortbread. But I'm looking at these photos now, and there's clearly two stacked on top of each other. But you know what it was? I think they're two round shortbreads. So when they're stacked on top of each other, they look like a melting moment. And I think I forgot that I wasn't having a melting moment, like a yo-yo biscuit. Because that's what a yo-yo biscuit looks like, is a yo-yo. Two things stacked on top of each other. And that's exactly what it looks like. You can't really see it in the camera, but anyway, I'll chuck it in the Facebook group during the week. If you're not part of the Memoirs of a White Guy Facebook group, get in there. I'm just going to look like such an idiot, because these were all taken before I realized that I didn't have the fucking shortbread. Oh my god, I'm so stupid. Whatever. What was I saying? I was saying, yeah, it's so hard to make something actually enjoyable that you like doing funny. Like, I have nothing funny to say about Panic at the Disco. It was just really fun, and I'm really glad I went. And I don't regret paying $170 for it. Alright, that's what you should do. If you like something, fuck everyone else, right? I had no one who wanted to go to the show with me, alright? And I was like, cool. I don't give a shit. I like them. Do something for me, right? And yeah, I paid too much money, alright? But it was fun. So, just do shit that you like, man. I'm sick of people like, oh, like I've got like the mob mentality. Like, I don't really, like Lewis always tells me how he enjoys going to shit by himself. That's weird, alright? It's not a preferred. But man, if you want to do something and no one else does, fuck him. Just go, alright? It was good fun. I don't regret it. What else do I want to talk about? There was a really old dude at Panic! The Disco. He was lost. I was like, man, you need a map. Like, how do you lose, you know what I mean? How do you lose yourself in a Panic! The Disco concert? You're not a shortbread, alright? He was balding to the point, like, where he had, like, the little ring. I'm assuming he was with his daughter, but he was getting into it, you know what I mean? He didn't look like he was hating it. He was dancing along. Didn't know many words, but I was like, nah, I reckon he wants to be here. And I was like, he just looked lost. I was like, I felt bad for him, because I was like, man, this isn't your demographic here, because you're not 14. But I thought I was old. And then I turned around, and there was a dude who was like three times my age, and I was like, phew. But it was insane. Man, I'm going to be that. And then I realized halfway through the concert, I'm going to be that guy. If Panic at the Disco is still going in 40 years, I'm dragging my 60-year-old ass there. I don't care if I got grey hair. I'm wearing elastic, right? Man, I'll go there on a walking frame, all right? I'll be there front row on my little walking frame, right? You know, I'll be in the mosh. It'll be, dude, that guy's living, all right? I was judging him for a bit, and I was like, what are you doing in a Panic at the Disco concert? Like, go anywhere, like, anywhere else. And then by the end, I was like, nah, I can't judge this dude, because this is going to be me, alright? I'm going to be balding, going like, I chime in with the heavens you people. And by that time, there won't be 14-year-old girls. There'll be like 40-year-old girls. And you know, fuck, I'll be like, look at all these bloody cougars. So, yeah, I think that's almost the end of the podcast. I'll do one question, and then all I really had to talk about this week was my shortbread. All right, that was the only thing that happened to me. Alrighty. This question is from someone who wants to remain anonymous. Alrighty, how mysterious. I'm going to call ya Stacy. Alright. Hey, first of all, love your work. Came to your show this year and it was bloody hilarious. Can't wait for next year's. Thank you very much. Anyways, on to the question. I need a male's opinion. You've come to the right podcast, alright? If you had have sent this into Memoirs of a White Girl, then, you're not going to get that opinion, that male opinion. But, just like, I mean, not many people in 2018 ask for a male's opinion on things, so full credit to you. Usually people don't particularly hear what we have to say, because for centuries, people have only heard what males have to say. But hey, I'm glad I can help. What's your opinion with public displays of affection? A PDA question. Like hugging little kisses in public. I don't know if you're like that, but I feel my boyfriend doesn't want to be near me in public. I think I'd like a little bit more. Is it just a guy thing or my boyfriend? Thanks. Personally, look, I don't want to generalize. It's probably not a guy. I think it's a little bit of a guy thing. But again, that's generalizing. I'm sure there's heaps of guys out there that bloody... I mean, you go to any nightclub, right? And there's blokes happy to have a snog right in the middle of the bloody toilets. You know what I mean? There's people in the, like, on the DJ booth, just like... Some people would get happily be bent over the DJ decks, all right? But that's just not for me. So I'm not going to say it's a guy thing. I would say it's many guys, though, probably. And I don't know why, man. It's just like a dumbass male thing where you're like, oh, I'm not showing affection. No, I'm not like that at all. Like, I draw the line at, like, I'm not making out with you in public, all right? We're not macking on the train. We're not... Like, that's where I draw the line. I'm happy, you know, if there's a nice little moment and, you know, you're going for a walk and you might give each other a little peck on the lips or something, or a peck on the cheek, peck on the lips. Like, that's all good. But if you're, like, up against a wall, like, making out and getting all up in each other's grill, take that shit elsewhere. It's not even like like, my boyfriend's embarrassed, he doesn't want to be with me. It's like, have some respect for the people around you. Like, if you're getting finger blasted on a public bench, just, that's illegal. Like, I'm not, by the way, to the girl who sent this in, I'm not implying that that's what you do. I think what you mean is, like, what you said, like, hugging and little kisses in public. Yeah, that's totally cool, right? But there's, like, a line, you know what I mean? Like, if you're... Depends how you're going about this. Like, just don't be weird. Like, if you love someone and you're with someone, then, like, if you're together, then, like, yeah, if a hug and a kiss is, like, who cares? It's more of a thing, like, where you got to read the situation. Like, you know, on a train, maybe standing there hugging isn't appropriate. I don't know, it's just weird, right? You just look like a weird unit. But if you're in, you know what I mean? Like, just read the situation you're in. Personally, I draw the line at, yeah, like, if you're trying to get a bit of tongue in public, I'm not into that, to be honest. Not really my thing. You know, but at, like, a party or a nightclub, I guess the situation changes. I've just but never really been in that position where I've been single and in that, I guess, I have in high school, actually. I don't know. I don't really remember, man. I don't remember what I was before a relationship. But yeah, so I would say my thoughts would be I don't think your boyfriend is trying to, like, I don't think he's like, I think you're worried about, like, oh, he's embarrassed to be with me. I don't think that's the case. I think some guys are just shitty, really shitty at showing affection in front of other people because men... are literally told from when they're young that they can't have emotions. So, yeah, I would say maybe encourage it a little more. Tell him that you... And don't, like, just tell him, like, mate, there's nothing wrong with, like, kissing me in public if it's just, like, a little peck on the lips. Like, it is a little bit weird, actually, if he doesn't want to do that. I don't particularly have a problem with that, but maybe it's just me. I would say it's not a male thing, though. It might be just your boyfriend. Some males would probably happily go with it. In you, like, go with it with you in public. Does that make sense? Anyway, yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? Some males would happily, like, you know what I mean, do that shit in public. It's probably just your boyfriend. So maybe you need to tell him to get over himself. hope it all works out for you. Hope you get a few little public kisses soon. Yeah, good luck with it, Stacey. And that's the end of the podcast, guys. So... Pretty much, before I go, we're gearing up for the tour next year. I don't want to talk about it too much because I'll be talking about it all early next year because I'll be touring. And yeah, I'm starting off late January in Perth and then we'll be going like everywhere else. I'll be doing the Melbourne Comedy Festival again. And yeah, it's going to be dope. I can't wait. I've thought of the concept for my tour this week and I'm super stoked about it. It references... like an old joke. Actually, I could probably tell you guys. I'll tell you about it maybe in a few weeks when it's actually locked in. And yeah, so it's like you guys will like it, I think. It's like kind of bringing back a somewhat joke you may be familiar with from in the past. It was pretty big at the time, but I haven't really talked about it for a while. But I feel like there's something to it still. I feel like there's more there. So I'm going to like do the whole national tour based around one shit meme from like a year and a half ago. I would say a year ago now, almost a year to the day. So if you can work out what that is, then there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. You guys are awesome. I really appreciate you guys getting involved in all the stuff that we post about during the week in the group and stuff. And yeah, I guess I haven't thanked you guys for a while. Thank you guys for still listening to this podcast. It's really cool. So have a great week. I'll see you guys next week. Remember to tell all your friends about the story of the missing shortbread.